Hi, good morning, everyone. Here we have a world of remote control action because I'm recording from my computer at home, and I'm doing it through remote control from the computer here in Fraser Park at Teddy's house. So, hooray, I love technology, and thank you. Thank you, Jesus, for giving us all of this because it's all perfect. So, good morning. We are here for our regular Awakening Together weekly gathering, and I want to welcome one today. We have, I think, a very special program today, and we're talking about the Holy Spirit, listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit, and the certainty of healing. That healing is certain. And so right now I'm going to put on some music and play some music so that people can greet each other and say hello. So let me switch over. This is going to be a fun... All right. Thank you all for being here with us. And let me see. I think, can you guys hear me okay? Yeah, maybe to turn the sound down over there for now. Well, okay, good. Yay. Isn't that a beautiful song? Come and be with us today, Holy Spirit. That is my prayer for us today. We are awakening together. And what is awakening together? You know, some of us are pretty well aware of it, and some of us, you know, maybe just learning. So awakening together is a universal assembly of peers. That means that we are all the same, dedicated to recognizing and embracing universal wisdom, regardless of the form in which it appears. We are also dedicated to recognizing the ways we deny universal wisdom by adopting personal beliefs and biases. We want to recognize these limitations so we can free ourselves from them and open to the continuous flow of universal wisdom. And the core value that I have selected for today is, well, actually there's two of them. Core value number three, which is we accept one true self, which is one presence or being, non-dual, without beginning or end, and absolutely changeless. We live this value by practicing letting go of the belief in the individual self as who we are. And then number five, we accept all forms as temporary appearances permitted through enduring awareness of self. We live this value by honoring all appearances and all experiences while continually reflecting on changeless truth. So what I'm seeing that is so clear to me about both of these particular core values is that they reflect the changelessness of reality, that what is cannot be changed, what God made cannot be changed. And so every form, whatever form you see of a person or a part of the world, it is temporary. It is not real. It is an illusion of a reality, and it is temporary. So what never changes is the Holy Self, who we are. So these are core values of awakening together that inspire me and bring me to complete joy, absolutely joy. I do have some announcements. First is that we see that Regina is going to be going to teach at a resort in Baja, Mexico. A lot of us are not able to afford to go and do that ourselves, but we can through the magic of the internet. We can actually live stream or get the live stream for this particular event. And I think maybe Barb will put the link for getting the live stream. I forget how much it is, but you actually can get, I think it's like $97 or something, and I'm not going to commit myself to that because I'm not real sure. But there is an ability to do that so we can actually hear and see Regina and all the other great teachers at this A Course in Miracles retreat in Baja. Also, don't forget that A Present Love, the A Course in Miracles conference, is coming up on April 17th through the 19th. I do believe that Duff Fishman has one ticket left. I saw yesterday he posted that 575 people have registered for this conference, which was originally estimated at 500. And so this is great. I think it's going to be a great time for us to get together in New York and to join together at this wonderful Course in Miracles conference. Right after the Course in Miracles conference, there are two events that are happening. One is on April 25th in Quincy, Mass., and it is going to be a celebration of the 50-year anniversary of A Course in Miracles. It's been 50 years ago that Helen first heard the voice for Jesus, and he told her to, you know, take notes, and she did. And 50 years later, we have A Course in Miracles group or family around the world, a community around the world that is strong and healthy and joining together in great love. And so this event that's going to be held in Quincy is kind of a birthday party. And it's also a birthday party because that is actually Bill Thetford's birthday. So Vicki's going to be putting on a great party at that time. And you can contact me for more information about that particular event. I will be also a part of that event as well. So I'll be there, and Jennifer Nahulu is going to be up there with me. At the same time, Regina is going to be doing an event in New Jersey, April 24th to the 26th. So if you can't make it up on the 25th for the James Twyman and many people doing a wonderful event for A Course in Miracles' birthday, there is the event that's going to be happening in New Jersey. And Barb will put, I'm sure, the link for that. And then we have the fall retreats that are coming up in September. And the fall retreats are going to be here in Colorado. And there are three of them. First, there is a weekend being with Jan Frazier, who we've all learned to know and love from listening to her book, When Fear Falls Away, and also listening to Jan was our guest at Satsang. I know that was very well received, and a lot of people loved that. So Jan will be the first weekend of the fall retreat, October 30th through November 1st, and then a week within with Regina Dawn Akers. So that will be a week from Sunday through Friday, November 6th. Sunday, November 1st through Friday, November 6th will be a week with Regina. And then a weekend beyond, November 6th through November 8th, we'll have Bentinho Massaro. And Bentinho is a young guy, a young teacher, very energetic and a lot of fun. And we have also had him here on Satsang. And also I have played some recordings from him as well in the room. So it looks like a great time. I know Barb did post the links for the retreat. So please join us at any one of these incredible retreats and gatherings that are up and coming. Also, Lynn Castaldo is doing a revival event in Florida. And I believe that is, Lynn, could you put something on the board about that? And maybe if there's a website that we can go to look at what you guys are doing down there, please do that so that folks in the area of Florida might be willing or wanting to come down. And that is actually at the same time as the Course in Miracles conference. Okay, good. Thank you for reminding me of that also, Regina. But for people who can't get to the Course in Miracles conference, if you're not among those 575 people who've enrolled already, you may be in the area of Florida and might want to attend the meeting that Lynn is having down there, the revival. And then Regina just also reminded me that we have a member meeting tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern, and Regina will be here to preside over that member meeting. And so there are our announcements for the day. And so thank you all for that, for joining with me on that. So right now, I'm going to do something a little bit different than what we have been doing in general. And it just kind of something it was suggested to me by Vicki. And I believe that it is a wonderful addition to our weekly gathering today. And that is a sort of communion. A way that we can join together in spirit and in a short meditation to really feel the connection between us and to feel the love that is ours to share, connecting to the Holy Spirit, connecting to our holy source. And so what I'm going to do is going to put on some music, and I just would like to have everyone just kind of sit in silence and join together in this holy communion. So let me switch over and put on the music, and join me in holy communion.
This is the air I breathe. This is the air I breathe. Your holy presence living in me. This is my daily bread. This is my daily bread. Your very word spoken to me, and I'm desperate for you. This is the air I breathe. For God. Are you hungry for Him? Woo!
All right, that was a song called Breathe by Michael W. Smith. Yes, yes, this is my daily bread. This is the air I breathe, and we are in Holy Communion. So right now I'm going to turn the mic over to my dear friend Vicky Poppy for a reading from A Course in Miracles. And please listen to this reading and just put yourself in this place where Jesus is offering you to remember that we are healed. It is done. So Vicky, the mic is all yours.
Thank you, Lynn. This is a section called Should Healing Be Repeated from the Teacher's Manual. This question really answers itself. Healing cannot be repeated. If the patient is healed, what remains to heal him from? And if the healing is certain, as we have already said it is, what is there to repeat? For a teacher of God to remain concerned about the result of healing is to limit the healing. It is now the teacher of God himself whose mind needs to be healed. And it is this he must facilitate. He is now the patient, and he must so regard himself. He has made a mistake and must be willing to change his mind about it. He lacked the trust that makes forgiving truly. And so he has not received the benefit of his gift. Whenever a teacher of God has tried to be a channel for healing, he has succeeded. Should he be tempted to doubt this, he should not repeat his previous effort. That was already maximal, because the Holy Spirit so accepted it and so used it. Now the teacher of God has only one course to follow. He must use his reason to tell himself that he has given the problem to one who cannot fail, and recognize that his own uncertainty is not love but fear, and therefore hate. His position has thus become untenable, for he is offering hate to one to whom he offered love. This is impossible. Having offered love, only love can be received. It is in this that the teacher of God must trust. This is what is really meant by the statement that the one responsibility of the miracle worker is to accept the atonement for himself. The teacher of God is a miracle worker because he gives the gifts he has received. Yet he must first accept them. He need do no more, nor is there more that he could do. By accepting healing, he can give it. If he doubts this, let him remember who gave the gift and who received it. Thus is his doubt corrected. He thought the gifts of God could be withdrawn. That was a mistake, but hardly one to stay with. And so the teacher of God can only recognize it for what it is and let it be corrected for him. One of the most difficult temptations to recognize is that to doubt a healing because of the appearances of continuing symptoms is a mistake in the form of lack of trust. As such, it is an attack. Usually it seems to be just the opposite. It does appear unreasonable at first to be told that continued concern is attack. It has all the appearances of love. Yet love without trust is impossible, and doubt and trust cannot coexist. And hate must be the opposite of love, regardless of the form it takes. Doubt not the gift, and it is impossible to doubt its result. This is the certainty that gives God's teachers the power to be miracle workers, for they have put their trust in him. The real basis for doubt about the outcome of any problem that has been given to God's teacher a resolution is always self-doubt, and that necessarily implies that trust has been placed in an illusory self, for only such a self can be doubted. This illusion can take many forms. Perhaps there is a fear of weakness and vulnerability. Perhaps there's a fear of failure and shame associated with a sense of inadequacy. Perhaps there is a guilty embarrassment stemming from false humility. The form of the mistake is not important. What is important is only the recognition of a mistake as a mistake. The mistake is always some form of concern with the self to the exclusion of the patient. It is a failure to recognize him as part of the self and thus represents a confusion in identity. Conflict about what you are has entered your mind and you have become deceived about yourself. And you are deceived about yourself because you have denied the source of your creation. If you are offering only healing, you cannot doubt. If you really want the problem solved, you cannot doubt. If you are certain what the problem is, you cannot doubt. Doubt is the result of conflicting wishes. Be sure of what you want, and doubt becomes impossible.
Thank you, Vicki. Yes, as Dove has posted in the room, doubt is the result of conflicting wishes. And this is just what Lewis and I were just reading from the text, is this conflict that comes about when I think that there's more than one way for healing to occur. But if I've asked for healing, I must know that that has been already done. I don't need to continue to doubt and wonder and wish and imagine and think that I know why and how things are happening. When I am sure of who I am, yes, exactly, Jacqueline, sure of who I am and know that I remain that one true self, then I can have no doubt. And So what happens, the mistake that happens is when I doubt that the Holy Spirit has done the healing, that the healing is done, and I continue to worry about the patient. I continue to look at the patient and see them as sick, then that is actually an attack, Jesus says. So he's telling me to rely totally on him and to know that once I have been committed, it is a total 100% committed. Can't be committed 99% of the time. It has to be 100% and total. So yes, Jacqueline is asking what needs to be healed. And the only thing that needs to be healed is the mind that believes that it has lost, that something has happened. But Jesus tells us nothing has happened. And so we are totally safe at all times, totally whole and healed. And the mind is totally healed, 100%. Yes, and Dan says, all I want is the peace of God. Is it the hardest thing to attain? Yes, it is hard to attain. Not because I can't get it, it's because I don't even know I already have it. I'm already healed and whole. And have never been anything else. So the only thing that needs to be healed is the perception that something has gone wrong. So chapter 7, section 5, healing in the changelessness of mind. And this is why I emphasize or talk about the changelessness of reality. And that the principles, the core values of awakening together honor that changelessness as being my reality. Jesus says, healing is the one ability everyone can develop and must develop if he is to be healed. Healing is the Holy Spirit's form of communication in this world, and the only one he accepts. So this is, we were talking about what the Holy Spirit is doing. The Holy Spirit is communicating, and the communication is healing. He recognizes no other because he does not accept the ego's confusion of mind and body. Minds can communicate, but they cannot hurt. The body in the service of the ego can hurt other bodies, but this cannot occur unless the body has already been confused with the mind. This situation too can be used either for healing or for magic. But you must remember that magic always involves the belief that healing is harmful. This belief is its totally insane premise, and so it proceeds accordingly. So this is the backwards thinking of the ego mind, that it just imagines that what is healing, which is restoring my mind to the wholeness of what it is and remembering Christ, the ego says, don't do that. If you do that, I will die. Because I can't survive the truth. When you turn on the light, the darkness disappears because it never was. And this is what happens. Healing only strengthens, and magic tries to weaken. And so this is why when I ask for healing to heal the mind, to heal the body, to heal whatever it is that I think needs to be healed, when I ask for healing, that healing does occur. It occurs the only place that it can occur, in my mind, because the body is the only place it can be, in my mind. The world is the only place it can be. It's in my mind. What I see is a projection of what is in my mind. So the Holy Spirit, when I ask the Holy Spirit to heal my mind, that is what gets healed. The thought of something other, the thought of something outside, the thought or the belief in lack, the belief that I am small, the belief that I don't have what God gave equally to all of his creation. And if I am accepted in any way at all, if there's any exception to the rule that suddenly I don't have what you have, then that is an unfair situation. It says that God is not God. God is not in control, and I can change what God made. And I cannot change what God made, no matter what I think. The Holy Spirit, this is paragraph 5 in section 7, chapter 7, section 5. The Holy Spirit does not work by chance, and healing that of him is of him always works. Always works. Do not doubt that it works. Even if don't believe your eyes. Don't believe the body's senses. What is it that he says? Continuing symptoms does not mean that healing has not occurred. The symptom is only continuing because I still believe in it. So unless the healer always heals by him, the Holy Spirit, the results will vary. Yet healing itself is consistent, since only consistency is conflict-free, and only the conflict-free are whole. By accepting exceptions and acknowledging that he can sometimes heal and sometimes not, the healer is obviously accepting inconsistency. He is therefore in conflict and is teaching conflict. Can anything of God not be for all and for all ways? Love is incapable of any exceptions. Only if there is fear does the idea of exceptions seem to be meaningful. Exceptions are fearful because they are made by fear. The fearful healer, he puts that in quotes, the fearful healer is a contradiction in terms and is therefore a concept that only a conflicted mind could possibly perceive as meaningful. But healing is certain. The beginning, just acknowledging that healing is necessary, that healing is needed, and asking the Holy Spirit for that healing, the mind is healed. It is done. There is no more thing to worry or be afraid of. And so from this, I can go on about my life believing that healing has occurred and not doubting that it has. Not coming back to God over and over and over and saying, God, I'm afraid, please heal me. God, I'm afraid, please heal me. It's done already. And so all that doing that is saying is, I don't believe it, God. I doubt that you have the power to do this. And my doubts are an attack on God. My doubts are saying, God, you're incompetent. And if I am in doubt of that healing, I am truly believing that God is incompetent and incapable of being God. And guess who believes that? That's the ego. That's the authority problem. That is the belief that somehow I know better than God does. Somehow that I created myself, which is impossible, and we know that that's true. So fear does not gladden. Healing does. Fear always makes exceptions. Healing never does. Fear produces dissociation because it induces separation. Healing always produces harmony because it proceeds from integration. It is predictable because it can be counted on. Don't doubt it. It can be counted on. Everything that is of God can be counted on because everything of God is wholly real. Healing can be counted on because it is inspired by His voice and is in accord with His laws. Yet if healing is consistent, it cannot be inconsistently understood. Understanding means consistency because God means consistency. Since that is His meaning, it is also yours. Your meaning cannot be out of accord with His. I can't change God. Again, 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 I tell you this. You cannot change God. You cannot change what God made. You can't be out of accord with God because your whole meaning and your only meaning comes from His and is like His. God cannot be out of accord with Himself, and you cannot be out of accord with Him. You cannot separate yourself from your Creator, who created you by sharing His being with you. And this is why my being is shared with God. My being is one with God. And so, yes, I can't believe that I am unworthy. I cannot believe that my willingness has anything to do with it. Yes, Carrie, there never was anything to heal. I just was dreaming that I was unhealed. It is impossible not to be healed because Spirit is the core of what I am. God made me like Himself. There is nothing I can do to change that. There is no law of attraction that somehow I can make up something that can change what God made. There's no law of anything that says that I can make anything different than what God made. And that is, thank God for that. What a joy it is to know that that's the truth. And so, I'm just so grateful. Grateful to Vicki for her reading. Grateful for this wonderful topic that healing is certain. And I can know it. It's throughout the entire Course in Miracles. It's in every other spiritual book. It is in every other spiritual teaching that is guided by the Holy Spirit that says to you, you are God's Son, healed and whole and holy. And yes, Cindy, gratitude is the only appropriate response. And I am so grateful. Grateful for this course, grateful for the Holy Spirit's guidance in my life, grateful for all the things that happen that are in accord with God's will that remind me of my thoughts, which are the thoughts of God that I share. So thank you so much for joining me here with this. Right now I'm going to turn the mic over to the radio. I'm going to play a song. And if you are feeling so moved, or if you want to just be a part of supporting our ministry here, the joy that we share with our brothers throughout the world, Barb will put up a link that you can go to if you care to donate. There is no requirement for donations. We don't ask for people to tithe. We just ask for whatever feels right to your heart. So I'm going to let go of the mic and play a song, and Barb will post that link for our contemplation. And if you feel moved to do so, any donations. Thank you so much.
Been a long time running, I never knew then what I know now. That the fruits, they always come in, but you can't go around just knocking them down. It takes a long time to show in, we plant the seeds then and we look at them now. But the roots are always growing, no matter if I'm there or never around.
Whatever grows will grow, whatever dies will die, whatever works will work, whatever fights will fly, whatever fails will fail, what's meant to soar will soar. I am planting seeds, nothing
more. Like your whole life, you've been training for this moment, and when the time comes, you just disown it, meaning you just surrender, don't control it. Not interested in the clay pots and mold it. Sitting next to the path, trying to unfold it, or waiting for the fruits to fall down toward you. Let it go, and now you're flowing, feeling quite gorgeous, so you take steps away instead of towards it. What a rush, feeling freedom, with nothing to hold. We've been taught that what you touch will always turn to gold, and now we're learning when we let it go, it overflows with no credit to take, cause no credit is home. A higher power working deeper when the seeds are sowed, and when the seeds are true, then the seeds of gold, but the real gold is joy when life starts to flow, and when it does, you just smile, cause now you know.
I spent a long time running, I never knew then what I know now. That the fruits, they always come in, but you can't go around just knocking them down. It takes a long time to show in, we plant the seeds then, and we look at them now. But the roots are always growing, no matter if I'm there or never around.
Will grow, whatever dies will die, whatever works will work, whatever flies will fly, whatever fails will fail, what's meant to sow will sow. I am planting seeds, whatever grows,
yep,
will grow.
When it grows, it grows.
Whatever dies will die,
when it dies, it dies. Come on,
works, works.
If it works, it works.
Whatever flies will
let it fly, let it fly.
Whatever fails will fail, what's meant to sow will sow.
That song. That's awesome. So right now is a time when if anyone has anything that they'd like to share, please put your hand up. It could be something about the topic. You know, we're talking about this healing and the certainty of healing. Just knowing that once you ask, it's done. It's done. And to continue to ask even after you've asked is to say, you know, I'm not sure, God. I'm not sure you heard me. I see continuing symptoms, and so I think that that means that you're not listening. But we don't know. You know, there's no way of me knowing God's plan. And so if I think that, you know, something needs to be done differently, then I'm doubting that it's working. I just got to know. And it does take faith. But faith is actually seen then it lives out in our lives. It changes the way we see things. It opens up our hearts. It it brings about a condition in which you can see that healing is truly happening because you're willing to see. If you're not seeing the healing is happening, maybe it's because you're just not willing to see it right now. And, anybody, again, if you have anything to say, please put your hand up, because I'd love to hear from you. The idea that this continuing sickness, you have to ask the question, what is it for? Why do I continue to see sickness when Jesus is telling me that healing has been accomplished? If I continue to see sickness, it's just like anything else that I see. I see it because that's what I want to see. And so I may ask the question then, what is it that, what is ego getting out of this? What is the payoff in this continuing to see sickness? And when I start questioning the payoff, what is it that ego's getting out of it? That can be pretty nasty. You might see some stuff that you really do not want to see. And who is the one who's seen? And Regina says, sometimes continuing sickness is to bring a person to the point of being tired, really, really tired of the present way of seeing, believing, and being attached. And it's true. There's a purpose of it. And it may be just to get you to the point where you just can't stand it anymore and you have to give up. And, you know, if that happens, then, you know, it really kind of means that you didn't really want to hear it and you really just let it get to the point where it was, you know, about to kill you in order to be able to listen. Yeah, John Mundy calls that crash and burn. And Cindy, I see that you have your hand up, so I'm going to let you have the mic.
Thank you, Lynn. If I'm breaking up,
all right, yeah, Cindy, you're breaking in and out. And I know, Cindy, I so adore you. I love that you will get in your car and drive to someplace else so that you have better reception. So, yeah, I didn't really hear what you were saying. So if anybody else would like to share, though, or you want to write on the board, that's fine as well. You might think then, too, and here's another thing I wanted to make a point of. When Jesus tells you that healing is certain, and Jesus tells you that once you've asked that it's done, and you continue to ask because you don't see the result, not only are you actually telling God that he doesn't know what he's doing and he's not doing a very good job, but you're also telling yourself that you've done something wrong and you're feeling guilty. Guilt is the only natural result from doubting God. And doubting God's power. So, you know, the ego has you so many ways when it comes to this inability to see the truth and the belief that you are wrong for not being able to see the truth. And especially when you read it in the Course. And people, there are so many people that feel so guilty about not doing what it is that Jesus has told them to do in the Course, and feeling guilty is exactly what he doesn't want you to do. Feeling guilty is how the ego keeps you in this endless cycle of fear and desperation and hitting bottom and all that stuff. Yeah, exactly. Roy says, faith is powerful in whatever we focus on. Rather, it is sin, love, or going to the moon, get out and walk around and then come back. You know, that's it. You know, it really is just remembering, yeah, Monica says, I lived in a bottom for many years. And some of us think that the bottom is where home is. But we're only at the bottom because we want to stay there. Yeah, pay the ego off with guilt and stop paying the troll. I like that, Dan. Dove, I'm going to let you have the mic.
All right, thank you so much. What a wonderful, wonderful service. Thank you so much, Lynn, and everyone who joined us here. When you were sharing about the certainty of healing, what actually spoke to me, and actually it's been brewing for a few days now, is that this is a time of healing. But we have all come here for this healing. That this present love, which actually is contained in the section called Where They Have Come, we have all come here. The healing happens when there is no judgment. Just posted on Facebook, the highest form of human intelligence is observing without evaluating. That's a quote from Krishnamurti. We're in this experience that judgment is unnecessary. Don't need judgment. I simply need to be still. Simply need to be still. It's in that stillness. I am not this body. I am free. I am still. And it's in that stillness that the healing happens. And this is this incredible time on Earth. Earth is probably like a planet rehab where people come for healing. And there's this mass healing that's going on simply because there is an absence of judgment, an absence of judgment. The present love is not in a moment. I was listening to Benny Silverman. He says, I don't want to be limited to a moment. No, actually, there's this incredible environment of non-judgment. That's where the healing is. It's always happening. No one instant is connected to the next or to the last one simply because there is no judgment. Thank you so much for this wonderful topic. Thank you, Lynn. Back to you.
We're only on the mic.
Talking about the certainty of healing, what actually spoke to me and is now is that this is a time there is no judgment.
All right, that was Cindy, but she apparently was the radio was playing. I was like, I'm hearing myself. How'd that happen? Deja vu, deja you is what it was. Yeah, deja me. I loved it. So Janice says, when I finally realized my guilt was based on an illusion, I felt guilty for something that never happened. You gotta laugh, as Dove always says. And yes, it is not only that I'm feeling guilty for something that never happened, I'm reinforcing the guilt over and over and over by my willingness to doubt. And so it's that willingness to doubt that keeps the guilt going. And to be certain is to have no doubt. And when I'm certain, the guilt is not necessary, not even possible, because what do I have to feel guilty about? I am certain. You know, there's nothing more certain than a son of God. And, what Dove was saying, Jesus tells us that in the psychotherapy pamphlet, that the healing happens when the therapist forgets to judge or decides, or not forgets to judge, doesn't judge the patient. It's the judgment that makes the sickness. It's the belief in guilt that makes the sickness. And that includes physical sickness, mental, spiritual, all sickness is brought about by this desire to judge, to look upon God's Son and find him wanting, to look upon God's creation and find it to be less than whole. That the guilt that comes from doing that is what causes, it's the the material, the substance the world is made out of. It's this, it's when we forget to judge, when we just stop judging, everything goes away. Yeah, Kathy says the belief that judgment is meaningful. Who is it meaningful to? It's only meaningful to the ego who has comparison in its thought. That one can be better than another, one can be larger than another, one can be smaller than another. It's not possible. That's why Jesus says that there is no order of difficulty in miracles. The miracle of healing is, it flows over everything when the obstacles are removed. And it flows evenly over everything. It's like that stuff you can get if you're trying to, you have like a cement floor and it's slanted or something. You can get stuff to put on it that they call it self-leveling cement. And what it does is it makes everything level and even and smooth. And that's what this does. It's healing is self-leveling. Peace is self-leveling. It goes over everything, and it completely takes everything back to sameness. And so, yes, observing without evaluation equals seeing all as whole. It's seeing everything as equal. And that's why I picked those two core values of awakening together. It is all about our equality, our sameness, and our changeless wholeness. That changeless wholeness is our salvation. Yeah, equal is the one condition for peace. And so this is why healing is certain, because God has given all to all. God has given all to all. He's given us everything. There's not a single thing that I lack. And thank you, Sharon. Talking about the thing of what Vicki was reading from the Manual for Teachers, it actually is going into all the feelings that you're feeling when you're not seeing equality. And what are those things that she read here that happen when you're not seeing equality? Let's see. These are all the things that we feel guilty over. It's the mistake is always some form of concern with the self to the exclusion of the patient. It's a failure to recognize him as part of the self and represents a confusion in identity. Conflict about what you are has entered your mind, and you become deceived about yourself. And you are deceived about yourself because you have denied the source of your creation. And when you've denied the source of your creation, you cannot help but feel guilty. This is just the way it is. So what are the things that happen then? Perhaps there's a fear of weakness, vulnerability, fear of failure, shame associated with a sense of inadequacy, shame associated with a belief in lack, that I haven't been given what you've been given. Perhaps there's a guilty embarrassment stemming from false humility. The form of the mistake is not important, Jesus tells us. What is important is only the recognition of a mistake as a mistake. That's all. That's all I have to do is to recognize that it's a mistake, and a mistake is a mistake. And Dove has, First Roy has posted, his promises are sure, no need to judge. All are safe in God's heart, yes. And Dove has posted, there's almost a sensual longing for communing with others who have a large vision of equality. And that's it. That's why we join together, because we have a vision of equality. So if anybody has anything else that they'd like to share, please put your hand up. Again, I'd love to hear from you. If not, stay. There's another hour in which, I'll play some music and we'll do some fellowship, and that's always welcome as well. If no one is going to put their hand up right now, I'm going to go ahead and play our closing song. And I might play a couple of songs to close us out here. So I want to thank everyone for being here with us today. Thank you for sharing in communion. I find that lovely, and I'm going to add that to every time that I am the minister for this group, because it is so lovely to sit and join together and be in communion with the Holy Spirit, the communion of the saints. So right now I'm going to turn the mic over to the radio and play our closing songs.
love